Please be seated if you would. We're going to turn our attention to Luke chapter 14, and I'm going to read to you verses 12 through 24. I will refer to the earlier verses in the message, but this will be the text for the sermon this morning. And while you're finding that text, let me just thank you for your fellowship in Christ and for this invitation you have given to me to share some things in Sunday school and now to declare the word of our Lord to you and to me. Let's all listen to the voice of Christ. Luke 14, 12. He said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." When one of those who reclined at table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man once gave a banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame, And the servant said, 'Sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to his servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet.'" This is the word of our God. May he add his blessing to its reading. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father, we ask now that you would come and give us understanding of your word. We want to believe what you have said, and we want to live happily under your rule. We want to grow in faith and in holiness. What we know not, teach us. What we have not, give us. What we are not, make us. For the glory of your name. Amen. Everybody loves a feast. Delicious food, good company, interesting conversation. What's not to love about being with friends and sharing a meal? And who is surprised when they read in Scripture all of the food images that picture the gospel of Jesus Christ? You've heard some already, Isaiah 55. "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. For he who has no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food." Here's John 6:27. The words of our Lord. "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." Jesus speaks of himself, doesn't he, in very refreshing culinary terms. "I am the bread of life. Come to me, all who thirst." Whenever we take communion, we feast upon Christ by faith. These are the words we use, and we ought to use them. And what did the angel tell John to write down Revelation 19:9. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Food and occasions for eating and drinking, they give such amazing metaphors for all of God's kind provision in the gospel. They are rich, they are abundant, they satisfy the longings of the soul. Like a good meal, they give joy to those who come and eat and drink. And if you know Jesus Christ, you understand this very well. Luke 14 records three food stories, one historical account of a dinner party, and two parables about dinner parties told at the party. So lessons about parties told at a party. It's pretty good. The lessons that Jesus gave were full of reproof and were no doubt shocking to those who heard them, to the host, to one particular guest, and then to all the guests who were there. Let's take a look at the scene and then give attention to the second parable. Look with me and see three things: an awkward moment, a generous invitation, and then a shocking exclusion. That will be the outline for the message. So first, this awkward moment. Jesus was eating at the home of a very important man, a ruler of the Pharisees. Other guests attended as well, some Pharisees, some lawyers, perhaps others were there. They were there to dine, but they were also there to see Jesus. Not merely visit with him, but they were there to check him out. They were watching him carefully. It's there in verse 1. Do you see it? And I think you all know that when people watched Jesus carefully, they watched so that they could catch him doing something that they believe was not to be done. It was the Sabbath, and a man afflicted with dropsy was there. We call that condition edema, I believe, in our day. He was there. He was near Jesus. I doubt that he was an honored guest, because Jesus will later tell the ruler to invite the sick and not the wealthy friends and relatives that were there. Perhaps this needy man was there as a trap. Guests wondered as they watched. What was Jesus going to do? Would he heal this man on the Sabbath and violate the fourth commandment? But healing the sick does not violate the commandment. That's what Jesus taught, any more than rescuing a fallen son or even an ox. Jesus healed the man and dismissed him. The host was silent. The guests were silent. They had no reply. Verse 6. Then Jesus told a parable to the guests to teach them not to seek places of honor. You can see that in verses 7 through 11. He saw them choosing the best seats, and so he told them not to do it. It's better to take a low place and be invited to come up than it is to take a high place and then be told to come down. Jesus was not one for small talk, at least not at this dinner party. He saw things. He addressed things. And people who heard him were speechless and no doubt very uncomfortable. And there's more. Verse 12. He said also to the man who had invited him, so this is the host, right, the ruler of the Pharisees. Here's what he said. When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. What a gutsy thing to say. and to his host. Jesus told him not to invite the very people he had invited, people who were there listening to his words. Don't be concerned about returns in this life. Inviting people close to you or people of means will provide those returns, but you're not to seek them. Live in light of eternity. Bless the needy. Invite the despised. Be generous toward the poor with no thought of repayment. That's what Jesus was teaching. The rewards will come when the just are raised. Do what is right now. And be patient as you wait for what is coming. What a shocking thing for a dinner guest to say. This is that awkward moment, by the way. Imagine being there, hearing the insightful and penetrating words of Jesus. I wonder how long that moment was. Whatever the length, the next words spoken were those of another guest. Now hear the words, verse 15. Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. What? Was he even listening? Did he not get the force of what Jesus was saying? He did not. And we know that he didn't because of these next words. Don't miss them. Verse 16. But he, that is Jesus, he said to him, the parable of the great banquet, as we sometimes call it, was delivered to him. It was Jesus' response to his comment, and through him it was told to the other guests. Bread will be served in the kingdom, but there will be people who will not eat it. It will not be a blessed day for them. Now let's take up this generous invitation, and it is generous, very generous. The host in the parable invited a lot of people to a feast and then had food prepared for those he was sure would come. When the feast was ready, everything in place, the second notice went out. Now's the time. The food is prepared. Come and get it. The guests wouldn't come. They wouldn't come. They gave reasons, but they were not good ones. I bought a field and have to check it out. I bought some animals. I need to inspect them. I have a wife now, so I can't make it. All fine things to do, but they were terrible reasons to miss a feast that was carefully prepared for them. Weak excuses, each one. Offensively weak. They just didn't want to come. Surely the dinner guests who were there listening to the story felt the insult as Jesus described these responses. The servant reported back, and the master became angry. The people blew him off with no regard for the investment he had made for their comfort. All the effort to provide generously for them, wasted. Unfortunately, I understand this, having once offended a host in a similar way. Some of you may know that my family lived in a region of Uganda for a time as your missionaries, a place called Karamoja, the poorest part of one of the poorest nations in the world. The Karamojong people are hospitable. They are generous. They love preparing food for guests, sometimes at considerable expense to them. So early in my time there, I stopped by a friend's hut to collect something. I told him I was coming. I did not tell him I was staying. But he assumed that I would be there for a while, and he and his family prepared accordingly. So there I was, with a few of my children, looking at this enormous spread of amazing food prepared just for me and my kids. I was in a hurry, and I really had to leave. A concept unknown to the Karamojong people, I came to discover. No one is ever in a hurry to get anywhere, and no one ever feels pressure to leave. I think we may have need to learn a lesson from them, perhaps. I don't know. Anyway, I thanked him, I apologized, and I took off for the next thing. That was really bad form. I later learned how offensive that was and made another apology to this family, who in time became very close and treasured friends. We enjoyed each other around many meals after that. So things did work out, but this is how I learned to accept all generous invitations. In Karamoja, you don't refuse hospitality, even if it's inconvenient to accept it, especially when food is prepared just for you. I don't know what my friend did with all that food. Maybe he brought in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame to fill his table. I don't know. The host in the parable sent someone to do just that. Done. But there was still room. So the broadest possible invitation went out. Everybody come. Anybody come. I will be host to a lavish feast. I want a full house today. There is a tragic end line in verse 24, but before we get there, think for a moment about God's generous invitation and welcome to the world. I am sure that you all know that this parable is not really about food, as much as we love to eat. It's about God inviting people into his home. The invitation is sincere and it is universal. Preparations have been made and all are now welcome to enter the fellowship of God's family through faith in Jesus Christ, the only name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That's Acts 4:12. I hope you agree. Do you think much about the welcome of God? You should. Do you extend that welcome to people you see? Do you love being in God's family? I hope you do. It's really wonderful, isn't it, to be a child of God. I hope you say, I love being a Christian. I am so glad that I have a Savior who loves me, who gave his life for me, who is present with me, who makes promises to me, who helps me and provides for me and protects me and guides me, and who will one day bring me to heaven, a place of never-ending joy and fellowship with Jesus and all of his people. I am so happy that I am Christ's and that Christ is mine. Do you want others to join the family? Do you want the world to enjoy the feast? It is a feast, you know. We all feast at Christ's table. We're doing it right now, actually, as we join our hearts in praise and prayer and attention to the word of Christ. It is a feast. Worship is a feast. Life with Christ is a feast. It is a party hosted by our Redeemer. Not that life is easy and comfortable. It is filled with trials. I think we all know that. We feel it. Jesus promised that there would be trials. It's never good to pretend that all is well when sin and suffering persist. But there's no need to pretend. Life is hard. Pain is real. And some troubles do not go away in this life. And we need to learn how to speak honestly about this to ourselves, to God in our prayers, to other people, all while we long for the resurrection of the just, when all things will be made right, and we will be like Jesus when we see him, 1 John 3:2. And we'll spend eternity joyfully worshiping our Savior with all of the saints. But life in this age is hard, and that's why we need Jesus, right? And hallelujah, we have him. We have him. Jesus came and died and rose from the grave. He went up into heaven and sent his Spirit to dwell in us. And right now, Jesus is representing us in heaven and interceding for us. What a precious truth that is. He is our brother and is not ashamed to say it. Hebrews 2:11. A brother who never fails us. And brothers and sisters of Knox OPC, Jesus is there for you. He listens to you. He never mocks you. He does not reject you. He loves your prayers, and he always welcomes you. Do you believe that? You must believe it. I love how one preacher put it. Jesus is a friend who always lets you in and never lets you down. It's true. Maybe you're here and you don't have a friendship with Jesus. You've heard about him, but you don't know him. You are invited to come. Confess your sins to him. Trust that he died to pay for your sins and enjoy the forgiveness of your sins and the new life that Jesus gives to all who come. You are invited to the feast. Welcome to the feast. Jesus feeds us so well, doesn't he? Here's how J.C. Ryle put it in his comments on the parable. There is nothing that sin-laden hearts can wish or weary consciences require that is not spread before men in rich abundance in Christ. This is how we should understand the mission of the church, of your church. Jesus has welcomed us into the home of his Father, and we serve so that others would receive his welcome. Here's how one writer put it. The Christian mission is nothing more or less than our participation in the hospitality of God. And I think that's a good way to put it. And that's why we send missionaries overseas. It is why we plant churches on our own continent. It is why you are here in Silver Spring to extend the welcome of God to this needy place. It's why 330 churches and mission works in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church support others to invite needy souls to come and eat. When you receive reports from missionaries and church planters and you pray for them, and I know you receive those reports and I know that you pray, when you do that, you can ask God to help them and to help those who serve with them to deliver his welcome to people in their communities. They do participate in the hospitality of God. And so we pray for all of Christ's servants, don't we? And we pray that the Lord of the harvest would send out more laborers. And together, we compel the world to come to the feast. We compel them. That's how Jesus put it. Verse 23, look at it again. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. That's strong language. Compel them, not force them or drag them, but urge them and persuade them and invite them and surely welcome them when they come. The master's house must be filled with hungry souls ready to eat and drink and be satisfied. The food is ready. There's room at the table. Compel them to come in. The gospel invitation is broad and it is generous. While there is time, there is hope for the world. But there will not always be time. And while all are invited, not all will accept the invitation. And so let's move to that tragic end of the text and a shocking exclusion of those who dismiss this invitation of God. Remember that the parable is Jesus' response to the guest who said these words, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. I mean, can you just hear the platitude? Oh, what a day that will be. You know, we'll be there. We're going to eat. We're going to be blessed. That's what he thought. not so fast. There will be people who imagine themselves there, but will be excluded because they rejected God's invitation. So the invitation to come is generous. It is also urgent. The welcome of God is serious stuff. There is a lot at stake. Here's the chilling concluding sentence, verse 24. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my banquet. Jesus is warning his own people in this parable, the Jews who were privileged in so many ways and yet trusted in their privilege and not the one whom God sent to save them. That's true. They were invited. All preparations were made. They did not come. John 1, 11, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But there is a broader view in the parable as well. Surely there is. We are living right now in the age of welcome. Christ's atoning work is finished, and this welcome continues. And the welcome extends to all who come and believe. The warning extends to everyone as well. So this invitation is universal, but so is this warning. There are people in our day who think things are well when they are not. Or they think things are really lousy, but have no idea how to cope with the problems of this world or the trials they face. They are feeding on ideas and patterns of conduct that seem to satisfy, but they do not. They are making a wretched choice, as the hymn goes. We're about to sing it. And rather starve than come. They are starving while they lay aside the invitation to a feast. And brothers and sisters, it is your privilege to deliver that invitation to come and eat. Taste and see that the Lord is good, Psalm 34:8. Listen diligently to Jesus and eat what is good and delight yourself in rich food. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the word that has come to us today. Help us to live by it. Help us to love your fellowship, to long for a growing harvest, and to make known the delights that come with faith in Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.